This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.
8:39, sunny today, and highs in the 60s.
And it's appropriate we played that song because that song actually had a big impact in the testimony of our next guest. Heather Croft is joining us, and she is here to talk about her recovery from transgender and how God has been working in her life and helping her and redeeming her. And we're pleased to have her with us, joining us this morning. Heather, welcome. Oh, well, hold on. Yeah, we're pleased. I'm not turning up your mic, but we're glad you're here.
Right.
All right. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
It's good to have you with us. And I think the best way is just to have you share your story a little bit with us and share your journey and how God has been working in your life.
Well, let's see. When I was a kid, I grew up in the church, right? And going through that, I had dealt with a lot of stuff, and I was always bullied as a kid, between family members and kids at school, and it even got to the point where my fourth grade teacher told me I was never going to amount to anything. And that was a big thing for me. It broke me. And by the time I hit 15 years old, I had completely lost who I was. And I grew up in the church. I went to a church that were, eventually I just ended up speaking in tongues over it. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. My first memory when I was a kid was of spiritual warfare. And by the time I hit 15, I had lost who I was in Christ. And it just became this downward spiral. And I had ended up so denial and so far down in pain, I became numb. And in that numbness, I no longer knew I was in pain anymore. So I started believing the lies the enemy was telling me. And with that, it was one of those things of, oh, maybe it's this. Maybe you're a lesbian. So I believed it. And that's the direction I went. But as time went on, by the time I hit early 20s, I was introduced to drag. And going to the gay bars and whatnot, I had started putting makeup on my face. The first time I tried drag, I had makeup on my face. I had chopped up the fine hair, put it on my face, and I thought to myself, this is it. But it wasn't. I thought that's what it was. And from then on, I want to say to my late 20s, I had started transitioning. I started hormones, had my name changed, gender marker change on my license, which I still have to get rectified at this point. But I had went through all these processes, and I had got to a point where I found myself going into surgery for a double mastectomy. And while this was all going on, my headspace was so messed up. And I was so confused. I was lost, scared, nervous all the time. I was paranoid constantly because I kept thinking I was a conspiracy theorist on top of it. And soon I found myself after anesthesia getting ready to go into surgery. And I heard God's voice for the first time in 20 years. And he said, please don't do this. Please don't do this. But because I was so just focused on getting something off of me, which I thought was so uncomfortable, I went ahead and did it anyway. So now I've made this mistake that I can't take back. But through that, though, during that healing process, I had realized what I had done. And then I tried to bury it again for a few more years. And it wasn't until working at my last job, and God had used so many different facets to get my attention. He used music. He used radio. He actually used this radio station to get my attention. It was you guys were interviewing somebody who was a lesbian and was turned around. And it was during my lunch hour when I heard this. And went where I was like, maybe there's still hope for me. So in listening to this radio station, it actually helped in that whole process. And by the end of it, I ended up watching some videos from Transformation Church, Pastor Michael Todd, and he did a series called Relationship Goals. And with Relationship Goals, by the end of it, I'll never forget it. He was going through the prayer, and by the end of it, he said the word transgender, and I broke in half. Everything that I had built, it took 12 years to build who I thought I was, and it only took God 6 months to break it down, turn me into dust, add his living water, and start rebuilding. And through that, like, this whole, like, then COVID started. This all happened around the same time. I've only been on recovery for 8 months. Oh, wow. I've been off hormones for 8 months. God had made it to where I thought I had no choice, but I knew I had a choice, because we all have a choice at the end of the day, because God gave us free will. And I remember after listening to that that sermon, I remember going into my bedroom and I just said, God, I give you my sexuality. I give you it all. I'm tired of running. I can't do this anymore. Whatever you want, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. I'll be there. I'll do it. I'm tired of running from you. I'm not going to do this anymore. What is it you want me to do? And soon he's like, I need you to go home. I was like, okay. I didn't have a way to get home. One of my buddies that I had become friends with on one of the bearded groups I was in, he just went ahead and like, well, what's the plan? I told him the plan. I said, look, I don't have enough money to get a truck now because I had to pay my last month's rent. And he's like, I tell you what, he said, I'm going to pay for you to get a truck. And he got the money, and God did exceedingly and abundantly more than what I could ever ask for. He not only was able to get the money to rent the truck and for gas, I had money left over. And just that started this whole thing. And then to bring up to date, really, is I was watching a series called Forgiveness University by Pastor Michael Todd, and which I follow him a lot. I love his stuff. He just blows my mind every time I watch him. But there was this moment where I was watching the Forgiveness University series, and I heard God say, go to the church. I was like, it's Friday afternoon. What do you mean go to? Nobody's going to be there. He said, go to the church. And each time I tried to make an excuse, his voice got louder and a little bit more stern. So with that, I was like, all right, fine, I'll go to the church. So I went to this little Four Winds Chapel. It's like kind of one of those private things. You could just walk in. It's nobody's actually there. Walked around. They had a little trail back there, and God repeated himself again. He said, go to the church. I said, all right, fine, I'll go to the church. So I got back on my bike and I went to True Life Church, which is where I go to now. And I couldn't figure out the reason why. Was that when I got there, I was shocked. Why I was shocked, coming from God, I don't know, but I was shocked. And I pulled up to the church, and lo and behold, there was a car in the parking lot. I got in the church, and it was the pastor. And I was like, okay, so clearly I'm supposed to be here for a reason. And I walked in the church, and his wife was there, and the pastor was there. And I was like, so I'm here. They're like, well, why are you here? I said, I honestly don't know. God told me to just come here, so I came here. And without hesitation, the pastor went, grabbed a pamphlet, and handed it to me. And it was a pamphlet for Celebrate Recovery. And from then on, it was funny because it's like, okay, Celebrate Recovery, cool, I'll go. When was Celebrate Recovery? Fridays at 6 p.m. So that's basically where we're at. I ended up being a drummer for the Celebrate Recovery worship team, and it's been an amazing journey, and it's continuing, and I can only imagine the opportunities he has laid out before me.
Well, tell people, what is Celebrate Recovery?
Well, Celebrate Recovery is a faith-based 12-step program that, our identity is found in Jesus Christ. I mean, he is the center of the entire 12-step program. Think of it as like AA or NA with God at the center. And you can't get any better than that. It's changed so many people's lives. So,
and one of the things that we see in our culture today, obviously there's a big expansion of transgenderism. I was listening to one in the 80s. You couldn't find literature on women who are suffering with sexual identity issues. It wasn't there. It never happened. And now all of a sudden there's this explosion. And you mentioned how, you know, we find our identity in Christ. as you, from your own experience and what you see happening out in our culture today, you know, how is this? Do you see that disconnect from God is, you know, causing people to lose their identity? And, you know, as young people, obviously you grow up in a difficult situation. It's hard, even in the best of situations. So your kid growing up has struggles with that. You go through that. These normal struggles, and it seems like the enemy is coming into these normal struggles and using that as a bait to just lure
people absolutely
away.
Absolutely. Yes. He something I had learned going through Celebrate Recovery was I learned the enemy's playbook. And it's the way of manipulation through pain. If he can manipulate your pain just enough to, it's like a dust on a set of gears. Cause you know, the term, like the gears in your head are turning. If you take that speck of dust on the smallest gear and it starts to turn, and once it takes hold, the enemy doesn't have to do anything. You take it from there. So it's that use of manipulation through pain, and it's very powerful, and it's so easy. He uses the same tactics over and over and over and over again, and that's exactly how he does it. He's going to take the smallest amount of pain that you have and then try to amplify it. Everything else, we do.
Well, he uses the same tactics because we keep falling for
him. Yeah, we do.
Unfortunately, we don't learn very well.
Well, Heather, what would you say to others that might be struggling through what you went through?
Well, I guess the thing that I could say is you're not too far gone. You're never too far gone. You're never so far gone out of God's reach that you are stuck in a pit and can't get out. All you have to do when you're at the lowest point in your life, the only thing you have to do is look up. That is it. All you have to do is call out to him and he will pull you out of the pit, but you have to be willing to do so.
And what would you say? I'm sure you have critics that you can't recover from that. That's how you were made. What would you say to those with that mindset?
With that mindset, I look at it like this. If everything in the Christian belief, for those who don't believe, is everything that we deal with is a spiritual warfare. Right. Because we're battling against the principalities and forces. We're not battling against the flesh and blood. So with that, we're not born that way. Sin has taken the world so much that it's worked its way into our children's lives and it's twisted everything so much. It's a disease. It's become where I'm residing now. It's become an epidemic in the schools. To the point where there was a moment when I had to reach out to a child and it changed her life by telling my testimony and her whole mindset. It's amazing. It's like at first when you see her, it was just this haze over her, this darkness. And after I was able to have that opportunity to tell my testimony to this child, it was like there was this light that went off. There was so much brightness in her life after that. And so, I mean.
Well, and I think that's the good news.
Yeah. Right?
That we see this going on. And obviously we're concerned for our children. We're concerned for our youth that are being led astray. And often, you know, like you said, you pump for hormones and things. We don't know what that's doing to people's bodies and what long-term repercussions that's going to have on people.
It's a mess.
But, yeah. But we have a better message, right? I mean, the world tells them, and the world was telling you, you're a mistake, your body's a curse, and the only answer is let's cut you up and let's pump you full of drugs. And God comes in and says, no, you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Absolutely.
You are not a mistake. Your body is not a curse. You are a child of God and created just as I want you to be. And you know, I think if we can get that message, that affirming message, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by a God who loves you. You know, that's really what they're longing for, right? Isn't that what we're all longing for?
Yeah, of course.
To know that? You know, and I think that's the joy that we have. We have a better message if we can, you know, lovingly and graciously share that message with folks.
Oh, yeah. Being gracious and patient and kind. Don't be like condemnation towards someone. That's the worst thing you could do is, or even just even have that look for 5 minutes is enough to make somebody run away. And that's not our goal. We don't want that. You know, we don't want people to run from God. We want people to get closer to God. So in a world so full of words, what we need today is action. And without that action, it's mute. We have to have action behind it. It's the same thing with what it says in the Bible about faith without works dead. And that's exactly what it's talking about. Like, we have to be able to back up our actions. If we don't, our kids are just going to fall away to it.
I have a personal question. There's someone that I come in contact with occasionally at another location. It's a guy that dresses as a girl. Do I call this person a girl, a guy? I don't want to call this person a girl because I know he's a guy, but I don't want to turn that person away either. What would you recommend?
That's a complicated question. Yeah. That's a very complicated question. The best way I could put it is respect them. Because it doesn't matter what we say at the end of the day. If we keep calling them by something that they don't want to be called, it's going to push them away inadvertently. But at the same time, show God's love to them. Because showing God's love to them will eventually go, wait a minute, this is real. Who you believe in and who is inside of you is real. Maybe I'm what I think. It's just that ever so slightly, just kind of gently. And if we do that correction gently with our actions, eventually they'll turn around.
We're talking with Heather Croft. She's sharing her testimony of her journey through lesbianism, transgenderism, and then now recovery in God. And I think one of the messages you said, because it's not just for your issue, but lots of people with other issues in their life, maybe their addiction issues, maybe their relationship issues or something. I think so many people feel like, oh, I've screwed up too bad. My life's been too bad. There's too much sin in my life. God could never bring me back. God could never restore this. God could never love me again. You know, and your message is obviously, no, you're not too far away.
Yeah, no one is too far away from God. He's always, even in the pit. It says something about, I think it's in Psalm. It's either in Psalms or Proverbs, talking about how even in the depths of Sheol, you are with me. Mm. So he's right there next to us the entire time, seeing our pain and crying out to us that we're never going to be too far gone, no matter how far we fall, no matter how many times we mess up. God is always going to be right there, waiting at the ready for us.
Well, and I think that myth that any of us are closer to God than others, we're all sinners.
Right.
No one is righteous, no, not one, right? The Bible tells us, yep. It's like, you know, it's even that is a myth that, you know, mm-hmm. we're all far from God. We're yeah. all far from him, but he's reached out to all of us.
Just because I've sinned differently from a drug addict doesn't make it any better. It's all the same to him. And there's something else that he told me a long time ago, too, was just as he looks at sin, we should look at his miracles. Mm-hmm. They're all big.
Yeah.
There's no one's worse than the other or one's better than the other. It's all the same.
Yeah. Well, and the greatest writer of grace in the Bible was Paul. And what did Paul call himself? The chief of sinners. I persecuted the church. I killed Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And God even found me. You know, and that's what a wonderful message for all of us, that wherever at, you are not outside of God's care and love and grace.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, Heather, is there a way people can get a hold of your testimony or read it or hear it?
At the moment, no. In fact, it's still being written. it's to be continued at this point. Because I don't know where else he's going to take me. I don't know where he's going to lead me to. But I have the ability. I'll probably end up eventually posting, so you could find me on there. I'm also part of a ministry called Broken Change, which is part of Celebrate Recovery. They're a faction of it, basically. This is the best way I can put it. But they are a fellowship. They're a Celebrate Recovery fellowship of bikers and bike enthusiasts. And just having, I mean, broken chains on my back, it's a testament. It's God has broken my chains. I no longer have to live there. And it's a constant reminder that keeps me, it really does help keep me straightened out from time to time.
Are there any resources you can refer somebody to? Maybe they're going through a struggle, or a family member is, that they could help them out. Any specific resources like Celebrate Recovery that you'd like to refer them to?
Yeah, Celebrate Recovery is the biggest one that I'm aware of at this point, because I haven't been out, you know, and around quite a bit. I live in a small town called Greenville, Ohio, and they're based in Dark County. But if you're in the area, True Life Church has Celebrate Recovery, and they are non-condemnate. Like, they will not condemn you at all. They will openly and willingly accept. And Celebrate Recovery there is 6 o'clock.
And I know that's a national ministry that's all over the place. International ministry, really. It's all over the place. Lots of churches have those. And I'm sure if you go to their website, you can find locations. And
absolutely, yes.
In your area. Hey, Heather, thank you so much for sharing your testimony with us.
Yeah,
we
no
really
problem.
We appreciate you
and
coming in today.
We are so excited. All glory to God that we played even a little bit of part of that. So praise God.
big part.
Thanks for enduring a very cold bike ride up here, too.
Oh, yes.
Very frigid. Those 80-degree days we have.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
we'll send you out with extra coffee on the way out. Don't
worry. That'll work. I'm good with that.
This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.